You probably know someone who has a son who is struggling in school. Maybe it's you. Good morning, I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's coming up on 10 minutes past 6 o'clock on this Wednesday, September the 17th. One couple I know, both intelligent, professional, hardworking people, were at wit's end a couple of years ago because their son, who was about 3 at the time, was expelled from his preschool. I think he was disrupting the class in various ways. He pushed someone down, which was the last straw. I couldn't figure out what was wrong with him or what his parents were doing wrong. I figured they just had a wild one on their hands. But I learned after reading the book, The Trouble with Boys, that my friends are not alone, and that what's going on with their son is going on with countless of other school-age boys. And it turns out the problem is not theirs alone. We'll talk about a troubling gender gap in our schools today, during this hour, with the author of the new book, The Trouble with Boys. A surprising report card on our sons, their problems at school, and what parents and educators must do. Peg Tyer is a senior writer at Newsweek, a former senior writer at Newsweek, and the author of this book. Good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you so much for being with us.
Oh, it's nice to be here.
Well, I remember talking to my friends about the problems they were having with their boy and the preschool that he was at. I didn't realize that this is a pretty common experience, a preschooler getting expelled.
You know, I'll tell you, I looked at the data, and I was very surprised to find that boys are expelled from preschool at 5 times the rates of girls. And I think that says a lot less about our boys and a lot more about our preschools.
What do you mean?
Well, I think preschool education has really changed. I think that parents have this idea now, for really good reasons, which I lay out in the book, but I think parents have this idea that the sooner we can bring our children to academics, the smarter they'll be and the better they'll do at school. And what I found in my research is that turns out not to be the case for many children, but especially for boys.
It's not just preschool, though, where boys are having problems. In elementary school, you say that they're put in special education classes more often. They're diagnosed with learning disabilities more often than girls.
Medicated for ADHD, they carry more C's and D's, they've almost withdrawn entirely. Actually, girls now dominate extracurricular activities like student council, class play, school newspaper and yearbook. They still are disproportionately represented in sports, but all the other school activities that provide leadership opportunities, they've withdrawn from. They commit suicide at 5 times the rates of girls. Mm-hmm. They drop out of high school more. And right now in our country, we have 2.5 million more girls than boys in college.
Yeah, and that's bad for girls, too. Bad news for girls.
I believe that it is. I make that argument in my book. Talk about, you know, what I kept coming back to writing this book is, does it matter? What's going to be the implications of this? Mm-hmm. And I really drilled down to try and look at that. And what I came away with is that, yes, this is going to matter a great deal to our children and our children's children, how our children raise their own children, who works, who takes care of the kids, whether they can afford to retire. These are going to be very real questions for our children.
Yeah. And I remember not that long ago when I was doing programs on girls supposedly getting the short shrift at school and not being treated equitably or, you know, not getting as good of an education or being challenged as much to get good grades in math and science and that sort of thing.
I grew up on that literature. It's, the reviving Ophelia movement, which called our attention to the crisis of self-esteem that girls suffer in the middle school years, and the fact that girls were struggling in math and science. And we all have seen the wonderful things that teachers have done with girls in math and science. Girls and used to lag behind boys very much in math and science, and now in standardized test scores, they've just about pulled about even, sometimes, you know, are beating them. And there's still wonderful supports in place for girls for science and math, and need to be. They still lag behind in areas like physics and computer science and engineering. But broadly, boys now are the ones who are lagging behind.
Yeah, and boys, especially in like reading scores and language.
Reading and writing are, you know, reading has always been thus. Boys have always trailed girls in reading. Writing is actually going backwards. So boys are writing less well than they used to.
Yeah.
It's very troubling, and especially now when the SAT has added a writing component. So, and I would argue, and I argue in my book, and I hope your readers will get a chance to take a look as I lay this out at some length, is that there was a time when lagging behind in reading and writing didn't matter all that much. But now we have a literacy-soaked curriculum, and we're in what historians will call the information age. And reading and writing have become the skills of our economy. So to lag behind in reading and writing has much greater significance than it used to.
We are talking with a former senior writer for Newsweek magazine, the mom of two sons, by the way, Peg Tyer, who says boys begin to struggle from the moment they step into the classroom and now account for less than 43% of those enrolled in college. And this imbalance isn't just a boy problem. It's a problem for all of us. We are talking about her book and the issues raised in her book, The Trouble with Boys. And we welcome your questions for her, maybe even your own experiences with this. 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. You can also email us, talk@wpr.org. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. This is the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine. It's 18 minutes past 6 o'clock on this Wednesday, September the 17th. Coming up later today, it's At Issue with Ben Marins between 4 and 6. After 5, sex is everywhere, on TV, on the internet, pop music, but nothing replaces the information about sex that teens get by talking with their parents, according to Ben Marin's guest after 5 o'clock. So talking about sex with your teen is the subject after 5. Right now, we're talking about why boys are having so much trouble in school these days, why there's a gender gap, what's causing this, what can be done about it. Peg Tyer, our guest, she is the author of the book, The Trouble with Boys, a surprising report card on our sons, their problems at school, and what parents and educators must do. We have full lines, and we'll get to the phones in just a moment, Peg Tyer. But when you were a writer at Newsweek, you won a number of awards for your cover story that people might remember, The Boy Crisis. So this is a topic that you've looked into for quite some time.
After I wrote that cover story, I have to say I didn't know the impact that it would have. After I wrote it, I got so many letters from parents who said, thank you for writing about the central drama of our family life, which is that our daughters seem to be doing okay in school, but we cannot get our sons engaged in the learning process. And these were smart, empowered, well-meaning parents, and they said, we know what college means. We know what college will mean to his future, but we can't seem to communicate that to him. And so they asked me to look at a few different things. They said, look at computer games. Look at the way our schools have changed. Look at No Child Left Behind. And I'm an investigative reporter by trade, so I took it on. I thought, okay, let's take a look.
Yeah, so are all those things to blame?
I don't want to use the word blame,
mm-hmm.
because this is not a finger-wagging book, because there's been finger-wagging books about this subject. There's been people who've written books that said feminism is to blame, and our lack of macho men is to blame. I'm not coming at this from an ideological point of view. What I'm trying to do is I'm trying to show smart, empowered parents of boys what's changed. Go to the science. Go to the social science. Look at what's been studied to see what we really think we know and actually what we do know, and help them sort it out. And then find a way to have a more nuanced dialogue with their schools, their son's schools, about what's happening in the classroom.
I'm wondering, though, if the attention and support that girls received following the research saying they were getting the short shrift, if that somehow changed our educational system
without a doubt. Mm-hmm. It's changed our educational system. Has it disadvantaged boys? Well, You know, I came down on this question. Has it changed our school system? Absolutely. Has it disadvantaged boys? Maybe. Would you have it any other way? I mean, we know what happened, what was happening to girls in the 60s. We had to change that for them. We had to widen their educational aspirations. Did we do it in a way that might have hurt boys? Is it? I don't think anyone set out to hurt boys. It just might be that we need to shift our attention a little bit, not away from the girls, but to include the boys in some of our supports, different kinds of supports, but in the same sort of way. Mm-hmm. I mean, people say, well, it's the fault of the feminists, which means what? Which means we shouldn't have done those things for girls? I'm not sure we had any choice at that particular time, or that certainly we shouldn't roll it back.
Yeah, there certainly is a way to give boys the attention they need without taking it away from the girls.
I don't think feminism is anti-boy. Mm-hmm. I think it might have been I might be internalized in some way and mistakenly, but I think that that's something we need to address, and that's something we need to make it clear that our goals, and our goals as parents, our goals as teachers, is to make sure all children can go as far and as fast as they want, as their dreams will take them. And that doesn't have anything to do with feminism. That has to do with good teaching.
We have lots of callers. Let me go to the phones. Courtney in Crystal Lake, Illinois is with us. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi. I'm glad you bring up No Child Left Behind, because I am a math teacher, a high school math teacher. And I was wondering if you were able to, in your research, find any studies on different types of assessments rather than just comparing standardized test scores between the genders. And I didn't know if there were more authentic type of assessments. Was the gap between the achievement of the men, our boys and girls, any different?
You mean the question is, if I understand it, is do boys test differently with different kinds of assessments? Like, could the gender gap be created by our current craze for standardized testing?
Yeah.
And I don't really see any good evidence to suggest that's true, but I will tell you, and I tell your listeners this, I don't tell your caller this because she certainly knows, that in the last 7 years, our schools are in the process of some massive reform. And what's happened is our curriculums have become much more narrow, and there's less time for science, less time for art, less time for music, less time for PE. Recess gets whittled away. And I lay out in my book that just what's happened and why it's happened. It's No Child Left Behind, there's some moral reasons behind it, but the way it's impacting our schools, I argue, is bad for a lot of kids. But boys are like the canaries in the mine, that they actually are suffering. They're actually expressing the ways in which this kind of education is not working for them.
Thanks, Courtney, for the call. Moving on now to Greg in Sparta. Hi, Greg.
Hello, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Excellent, thank you.
Yes, go ahead.
I happen to be a Spanish teacher in a high school, and this subject's really come up hard in my school. I teach in a rural district in western Wisconsin. And the men on the faculty have noticed that there's no culture for boys, young men, I guess you could call them, at the high school level, and that most of them seem to be excluded. And I really, I'm not going to say it's because women are allowed into every single facet of male life now, but I have noticed over the years that really things that were one-time boy things, like, say, Future Farmers of America, are now dominated by females. And even at the male faculty meeting, we had to have a female there, and that was okay. But for young men, I think they need boy time together. And a lot of time, that means physical activity. And, I really, I think our boys are excluded from the culture of the school office.
What about that, Peg Tire?
I admire you for making that call. Mm-hmm. And I know that you probably feel a little breathless even articulating those things, because people who say those things tend to be crossing into kind of a taboo area, mm-hmm, that we don't really want to, as I see it, really want to grasp right now. We can understand why girls need to be with girls. We support girl power. You know, we support, mm-hmm, when our daughters have 1,700 text messages on their on our bill in a month. We get that they're bonding with their friends, and we know how important that is for them psychologically. That being with other girls has a protective effect for them, for the natural emotional ups and downs of adolescence. But we don't actually, I think, and what I see is that we don't actually allow boys to be together. And when they are together, we give them such weird messages about being boys together. For instance, I see boys in a movie theater who will put a seat between the two of them, an empty seat, because they don't want to seem gay.
Yeah, that's...
Okay? So how sad is that? Yeah. How tragic is that for our sons? And, you know, the whole issue of, I think your caller expressed something very eloquently that I try to get to at my book, which is there isn't a lot of cultural support for boys right now. It's a weird time to be a boy. Women have changed. Our roles have changed. We're far into the gender revolution now for women. And a lot of us are sitting with our arms akimbo waiting for guys to change. And older guys get it. Older guys who are enmeshed in the fabric of our society, who are fathers, who are workers and support families, they get it. But boys, they're just not getting the clear message what it is, how they should be a guy, and how they should be an educated guy, a boy at school.
Yeah. So should we consider boys-only clubs at school?
You know, I can't make recommendations for your school. You know, schools reflect the value of a community, and... You know, I guess where our mind goes with this is we don't want it to become, a place of unfettered misogyny, or we don't want boys, we don't want to exclude girls and hurt their aspirations. At the same time, we do want to support boys, and we do want to support boys doing what they do best and, you know, bringing their own authentic selves into school. So I think that schools might consider that. You know, I'll tell you, I did see some terrific practices around the country in my research. For instance, in a very affluent suburb outside of Chicago, they see the way boys are lagging behind in reading and writing, and so they started for fourth graders a boys' reading club, book club.
Mm-hmm.
Now, book clubs are not two words that you usually associate mm-hmm. with little guys, but they're doing real well with that, and it gives boys a toehold in the literacy process at school. It's a boys' club for reading.
Let's go next to Sue in Eau Claire. Hi, Sue.
Hi. Yeah, I had a son that struggled in school, and he wasn't a terribly bad student, but he didn't make stellar grades, and he got in trouble, and he had a couple of brushes with the law, and, you know, he just generally was not very successful, but he was fortunate enough to get a football scholarship. And he went to college, and then he was fortunate enough to break his foot. and then at some point there, he discovered academics, and he became a really good student in college. And I do see terrible problems with boys. You said that adult men get it. I don't know. I see a lot of 40-year-olds that are still boys. I think there is a large segment of our adult male culture who never got it, and that's part of the problem with our society. But if you go back to Piaget, who was a developmental psychologist, he talked about that people pick up certain skills at certain levels, and if you try and make them do it beforehand, such as reading and writing and even math. And
Sue, I'm so sorry to cut you short, but we're at news time, so we're going to check news, and then we'll be back. This is the Ideas Network. Good morning, I'm Joy Cardine. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's 6:36 on this Wednesday, September the 17th. We are talking this hour about a troubling gender gap in our schools today, about how boys are falling behind, getting into trouble and not getting good grades, not enrolling in college in the numbers that girls are. We're talking about why this is happening and what can be done about it with Peg Tyer. She's a former reporter for Newsweek. She is the author of the book, The Trouble with Boys, a surprising report card on our sons, their problems at school, and what parents and educators must do. Our number, if you'd like to join in with a question or maybe tell us your own experience along these lines, maybe you're a teacher, maybe you're a parent of a boy who
fits this profile. 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. We have Sue in Eau Claire on the line. She joined us just before news time, telling us her story about her son. Didn't do too well in school, but did get a football scholarship, you said, Sue, to go to college. And then you said, luckily, broke his foot and hunkered down to academics. You wanna proceed from there? Oh, no, Sue didn't stay with us.
It was a great story that she told, and a very common one, because what I've found is that looking at, I'll tell you, I looked a lot at what's the brain research that's out there, and a lot of people now are suggesting the problems with boys are that they're hardwired differently, that boys' brains are different. And, you know, I looked at that in my book. I'm an investigative reporter, and I spent a lot of time really pouring myself into this research and talking to the neuroscientists who are doing this research on the brain and gender. And what I found was I came away much less convinced that there is such a thing as a boy and a girl brain. We know that our children are not unisex, but I'm not convinced that there's hardwired differences. It seems to be gender is an expression of both biological differences and also how they're raised, and those two things, nurture and nature, are in an exquisite dance.
Yeah.
But I will tell you, one thing I found very convincing was maturation rates are very different for boys. There's this waxy stuff between the neurons called, the name is out of my head, I'm sorry, it's early in the morning.
That's right.
Waxy stuff. It actually helps the passages in the brain move more quickly. And girls get that by about 16, and boys don't get it till about 25. And that research is very, very clear that maturation rates are different for boys and girls. Listen, insurance companies know that. When your kids get apply for car insurance, they charge more for boys. They get that boys don't have the basic maturity until a little bit later. But in school, what happens is so many boys get negative messages that they can't cut it, that school is not for them, that school is girly, something girls do well, mm-hmm. that they fall out of the pipeline that carries boys from children from preschool to college.
Well, I'll have to tell my husband that it was that waxy stuff between the neurons that was his problem. He talked about how what a terrible, terrible student he was, and you know, getting into trouble and not getting good grades throughout his elementary and high school years. Did take a break, was in the military, went back to college, and you know, graduated with high honors from college.
I've heard many, many stories like this, mm-hmm. but currently, in the way that our schools are structured, there's kind of a sorting process that happens. And by eighth grade, if you're not reading at grade level, mm-hmm. you tend not to graduate. State officials know this. They make calculations about who's going to graduate and how big our high schools have to be and how they have to be staffed based on eighth grade reading scores. Okay? So there's very little safety net for our lowest performing kids, and many, many of those are boys. So they fall sort of off the bus to college, and we can't seem to get them back on. We have this myth in our culture that a lot of teachers and a lot of parents have that, oh, he'll catch up. And, you know, that's probably based on our sort of folk understanding of different levels of maturation. But the way our schools are structured now, the rigidity of our schools, mm-hmm. we don't really create a system where boys can catch up. And when you look at the research, you find that they actually don't.
Yeah. Paul in La Crosse is with us now. Hi, Paul.
Hi. I disagree entirely with what your guest is talking about. I think that the reason boys thrived maybe 30, 40, 50 years ago was because women were being discriminated against. That young women who wanted to go into the medical field were told to be nurses. Don't be doctors. Doctors is a boys' thing. And until Title IX came along, all the sports in schools were boys. It's only been 35 years that we've even had high school sports for girls, and things evened out that way. I think that if women had not been discriminated against, literally for centuries, they would be, society would be totally different today. The only way that men could survive and thrive was by keeping, especially, let's say, white men, You discriminate against women, you discriminate against minorities, and you reduce the size of the pool of people who can advance. And that's what we did. And that has been changed, and now that white men have problems, your friend, Joy, who's with her little three-year-old kicked out of preschool, last week you did a thing on bullying. That's what that was all about. So, I mean, we got to make up our choices here. Are we going to protect kids from bullying and stuff like this, or do we just let boys be boys? I think that it's a good thing the way things have happened, and the boys are going to have to adapt. Their video games, everything else, they've got that. But if they want to learn how to get along in society, they're going to have to learn.
What do you say to that, Pigtail?
I really agree with your caller in ways that he probably won't doesn't understand right now. But let me try and explain it. This concept of the golden age of education for boys of 40 years ago, it doesn't really exist. It's not really what was happening. Yes, I completely agree with you that girls were subjugated and their career and educational aspirations were foreshortened in a way that was disgraceful. And that changed. The feminist movement changed that for girls. But there was no golden age of education for boys. 40 years ago, the only people who went to college were white, rich boys. Okay, there was no migration of the middle class into college. The middle class boys didn't go to college. Okay, our world has changed, and now we have a national mandate for all our children to go to college. Okay, it used to be that who we did well with was in 40 years ago was boys. But that's because they were all rich boys, and we didn't think about educating the rest of the people. They could leave high school, and they could get a job in the manufacturing sector where they could live good lives, middle-class lives, and support families. No one was that worried about it. Our economy has changed. So if you leave high school without a diploma and don't get any college, it's very unlikely that you'll be able to maintain a middle-class lifestyle, that you'll be able to support a family even. That manufacturing sector is eroding very quickly in our culture, in our country. So there, to look at that, I get that women have been oppressed for centuries and for thousands of years, and now we're on top for a nanosecond, and everyone's calling it a crisis, and people feel frustrated with that. At the same time, I get that there's gender equity issues in the workplace. There's not enough women in Congress. There's not enough women in the corporate boardrooms. But you don't fight those battles on the backs of 9-year-old boys. Mm-hmm. I think you have to take a step back and say, what's happening broadly in our culture? And the whole idea of, like, they should just deal with it, you know, I understand that frustration, but I also see how what drama this is creating for families and for really good people who know, who want the best for all our children.
Yeah. Are there enough male teachers in our public schools?
Very good question. Very good question. We're at a 40-year low for male teachers. And I have to say, part of me, just personally, and I'll be very upfront about my biases, part of me is a little tired of that argument, because women have children and they raise children, and by and large they educate children. You know, they don't do it all, but they do the lion's share. Mm-hmm. It frustrates me a little bit when people then say, oh, well, there's not enough men, you know, teaching children, or men need to take a stronger role in raising children. It sounds a little critical of women. And women seem to be doing so much that I'm hesitating to criticize them. That said, when we know intuitively, I don't need a study to tell you, that everybody needs role models. Girls need strong women role models. Boys need strong male role models. And so intuitively we know that that helps our children. There are good studies that suggest that gender does play a role, that female teachers tend to give better grades to female students, male teachers to male students. But even the people who did that study, an economist at Swarthmore, when I spoke to him, he said, be careful, you can't draw too many conclusions from that. We don't really know the impact of gender on our classrooms. We don't really know what's going on in that black box we call the school. So, and he said to me that for his 7-year-old, he would rather send his 7-year-old to be taught by an experienced female teacher with tolerance for males than an inexperienced male teacher.
Let me hold you there, because we're going to check our weather forecast, and then we'll take more calls for our guest, Peg Tyer. She is the author of the book, The Trouble with Boys,
a surprising report card on our sons, their problems at school, and what parents and educators must do. 1-800-642-1234, toll free from anywhere, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. This is the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine. 12 minutes before 7 o'clock on this Wednesday, September the 17th. Coming up after 7, we will talk with a guest from the League of Women Voters of Wisconsin who is concerned over a lawsuit filed by the state's attorney general. A lawsuit intended to prevent voter fraud, but one that many think could disenfranchise voters this fall. Then we will hear from Wisconsin Attorney General J.B. Van Hollen after 7:30. Right now we're talking about the problems that boys have in school. Our guest is the author of the book, The Trouble with Boys, Peg Tyre. And our next caller is John in Birchwood. Hi, John. You're on the air.
Good morning, Joy, and good morning to your guest.
Good morning.
I have just a question on brain asymmetry. And that males' brains seem to be more right brain, female brains seem to be more right left brain, but there seems to be more symmetry in a female brain versus a male brain, and therefore during prenatal stresses, that the male brain is subject to more of those stresses because of the testosterone and the femur hormones under more stress that they're not able to produce those. And therefore affects the male brain more because they're more asymmetric. And because more women are working, they're under more stress, which further complicates the problem. Although it's good that they're working, does that play a role in the development of both child, but more the male brain, and therefore causes a slowing or the maturation of that brain, and therefore they have even more developmental difficulties versus a female brain?
You know, your question reflects the information that's really been out there for parents and for teachers, which is, you know, in the 90s we had the decade of the brain, and we really, because of functional MRIs, we really learned a lot more about the working brain. But when I looked at this brain research, I didn't really find that it was that convincing. When I actually talked to the neuroscientists who study gender in the brain, yes, there's differences. There's physical differences in the structure and function of the brain. But the question is, with the way you're talking about it and the way we all talk about it in popular terms, is that there's kind of hardwired differences that affect our behavior. And in fact, we know that boys and girls are different. Who laughs at the Three Stooges? Who cries when Sarah Jessica Parker puts on that wedding dress? We know that boys and girls are different. But it's really unclear whether those are nature changes or nurture differences. So when you talk to neuroscientists, what they say is that this concept of hardwiring, it's not how we need to think about the brain. The brain is plastic and constantly changing, and it changes in response to what children are told about their own abilities. For instance, if you tell a girl, girls are bad at math, and if you're an authority figure like a teacher or a doctor, you will actually make them perform more poorly in math. If you tell boys, boys don't read, school is girly, if they get that message from people who they look up to and respect, that actually changes their performance. This is a very robust body of research called the stereotype threat. But we can actually change the brain by what we tell our children. And I think that's far more important than concepts of right brain and left brain, which I think are becoming a little bit outdated.
Yeah. Tim in Ladysmith is with us now. Hi, Tim.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. Very good show. I have three boys, and when I was
a veteran,
and when I was in grade school, I hated, you know, when I went through high school. I liked school until I got to high school, then I despised it. I think one of the problems we have with public school is just the structure of it. Some real practical things. Number one, there is basically no recess anymore in public schools, and boys need physical activity. You look at boys; they like to wrestle. They're physical, and for a boy to sit in a desk all day and learn is just totally contrary to their learning style. I think that's something that needs to be corrected. I think the other thing that tends to be monotonous for boys in school is that I think boys by nature are adventurous beings. We want adventure. And I think public schools have gotten so uptight about what's going on that that's kind of been eradicated from boys. You know, when I was in grade school, if you had a problem on the playground, you punched each other in the nose and the teacher took you in and swatted your bottom and that was it. Nowadays, we suspend kids and everything's so uptight that boys can't even be boys anymore because it's considered barbaric. And, but that's the nature of boys.
I think you make a very good point, and I write about this at some length in my book. I hope parents who are listening will get a chance to take a look. Here's what's happened. We live... Well, first of all, let me take the concept of movement. If your parents, okay, raise your hand if you think it's a good idea for your 7-year-old to have 20 minutes of recess or less a day. Mm. Nobody thinks that's a good idea. And yet in 29% of schools in the United States, that's what they get. Recess has been whittled away, and children need movement. And you know what? All children need movement, but boys are the ones who tend to act out more. And at the same time we whittle away recess, we've amped up the diagnosis of ADHD. The government released a study two weeks ago that said 1 in 5 parents of boys has talked to their son's pediatrician about their son's behavioral and emotional issues. Okay, 1 in 5. Now, we ignore those kind of numbers at our peril because I think that that speaks of a much larger problem in the way that we're educating our sons, in the way that we, in the schedule we give them every day. Mm-hmm. Not enough movement, not enough recess, not enough PE. It's bad for all our children, but I think boys are the canaries in the mine. They're the ones maybe a little more fragile who show it first.
Yeah.
I would also say that I agree with your caller, and I write about this at great length in the book. We are living in a our schools function in a post-Columbine world. The shootings that happen in schools are an unfathomable tragedy, and they happened in gory detail on 24-hour cable news. And so it gave us this feeling that they're happening down the road at our neighborhood school, which they're not. They are very random, they're very rare, but they're very tragic, and they cut to the heart of every parent. And so schools naturally amped up this idea of making schools very safe, which I agree with and all parents agree with. But then anti-violence policies became anti-aggression policies. And so now in many places, kids can't play tag on the playground. They can't play soccer. There's no physical contact. Duck, duck, goose is out. Too aggressive. And principals say it brings out the aggression. And so anti-violence policies became anti-aggression policies and then anti-fantasy aggression policies. And now there's almost this idea that you can't even really talk around violence. You can't really talk about superheroes. You can't really if you're a little boy, you can't really put your pointer finger out and cock your thumb and say pow, because then you're running into our sensibilities and our sensitivities about violence in schools. And very smart people, psychologists who work with boys, say we're misinterpreting what they're doing. They're playing around ideas of valor, ideas of courage, those classic fighting the bad guys, showing loyalty to the good guys. What we're doing by keeping such a harsh, a tight lid on them is we're actually telling them that school is not a place where you can be your authentic self. And that's a very damaging message for boys.
Thank you very much, Tim, for the call. Tom in Mequon is with us now. Hi.
Hi, Joy. I agree with what you just said, your guest. To me, I think there's two other things. I think the divorce rate has really hurt boys quite a bit. And also, I think, which has not been mentioned, I think many boys in this country really are just giving up. And they realize from watching TV that boys are put down. If you look at commercials, boys are the dummies. They're the brunt of the joke. You know, the girls are smarter, boys are dumber.
Yeah.
And like what your guests are just talking about in the schools, how it's neutering boys and making boys not boys anymore. And I think that especially white boys are seeing that a lot of society, you know, points to them as being the root of the trouble in all the world. And that really the world would be a better place without them.
That's sad. Peg Tyre, we have less than a minute to go maybe to just sort of sum up on Tom's comments.
Th- thank you very much for this opportunity, and thanks for all the calls. It's been fascinating for me. You know, I spent 2 years looking at this issue, and I wrote this book very carefully to be useful to parents of sons. And I hope that people who are listening, who hear about this book, take a look at it. And if you find it useful, and I'm betting that you will, I hope you'll tell other parents of sons about it. And I hope you'll start to talk about it to your son's teachers. Because teachers want to have this conversation. They get it. They know what's happening in our schools. And I think it's time we start saying out loud what's happening. And my book is an attempt to do that. So I just hope that it's useful to parents.
How almost out of time, but how are your boys doing?
You know, they're fine. It's not really about my kids.
Yeah.
I'm a national reporter, so I'm more looking at sort of broadly what's happening across the country. I mean, certainly my sons have sensitized me to some of the things, some of the odd ways boys do behave. And, you know, Mars can be very far from Venus at times. But it's not really about my kids. It's really more about what's happening broadly across the country.
Well, there's a lot of interest in this topic, and I'm sure they will check out your book. Thanks very much for being with us.
Well, thank you.
Peg Tyer, author of The Trouble with Boys. Thanks to Carmen Jackson for producing the hour. Thanks to Bill Martins and Cynthia Schuster for on-air production and direction. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.